All right, we'll get ready for this adventure. Next up, William Buhlman. We're going to talk about out-of-the-body experiences. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. William Buhlman is an expert in numerous OBE and past life regression techniques, from the shamanistic to the very modern. His teaching skills and remarkable insights empower individuals to go to the other side fully conscious. William is conducting the world's largest survey on the out-of-body experience and has some 16,000 plus responses yielding amazing conclusions. Approximately 50 million people have had an out-of-body experience, and these experiences have many similarities. Perhaps you have these: buzzing sounds, vibrations, sometimes sleep paralysis. They're just a few. He's convinced from this data that the majority of ET abduction scenarios are actually misinterpreted OBE experiences as well. William Buhlman back on Coast to Coast. Hello, William. How are you?
Hello, George. How are you?
Always a pleasure to have you back, my friend. This time by popular demand, as a matter of fact. Are you still conducting the study, or has that completed?
No, it's ongoing. I have it posted on my website, the responses, and it's all the listeners can feel free to go and participate. It only takes a couple minutes.
Well, and tell me some of the methodology that you're using there.
Well, my main focus was on what I call the vibrational state, which was the precursor to an OBE, because I wanted people to understand that, first I wanted to track the commonalities of what people were experiencing. For instance, like some of the things that you mentioned, the vibrations, mm-hmm. Sounds, voices, sensations. And because I knew I was having these things since the 70s, and I was personally curious whether everyone else was that was having OBEs or pre-OBEs. And, of course, that's exactly what I found out. There was thousands and thousands of people participated. And about 80% of the people that have OBEs have vibrational state phenomena associated with it at the beginning.
Why do you believe that in our lives, the fact that so many people, 50 million at least, have had OBEs, what do you think the significance of this is, William?
Well, I think it's a natural event. That's one thing. It's, you know, too often we classify things as paranormal that I don't feel they should be. This is very much a normal event. You know, we are not physical beings. We are not humans, even. We are consciousness, conscious beings. And one of the things I quickly found from my own OBEs is that when I have an out-of-body experience and I prolong my experience, I lose my humanoid form. In other words, we begin to revert back to what we truly are, which is not a human. Human's just a temporary state we're using. So we begin to obtain a lot of knowledge about what we truly are. In other words, OBEs give us an opportunity to really obtain answers about ourselves, what we are, where we come from, where we're going. You know, the really important questions.
When we dream, are we perhaps having an OBE experience, but we think it's a dream?
Absolutely. That's very common. In fact, in my books and workshops, I actually have techniques where people can take a dream and upgrade it. For instance, as you know, there's dreams, and then there's lucid dreams where you become more conscious.
Right.
But there's techniques where you can take a lucid dream and actually begin to upgrade that experience and become fully conscious and move beyond the body. Now, what I've found, based on not only my own experiences but research, is that everyone moves out of sync with their physical body when they're asleep. And I don't mean to say they're flying around, but they just move out of phase. They may be 2 inches out of phase with their body. Mm-hmm. All of us, during that 8 hours of sleep, we're technically out of body. And that's a major find. You can actually, people that go out of body actually can witness this for themselves. And that's when we were dreaming. And, of course, that's why you hear these reports of falling and falling back into your body, slamming back into your body. All this is just a return, our mind's interpretation of
the
this
fact.
Return.
The fact that the body and the astral body separate during sleep, is that a form of energizing the physical body, or maybe it's a form of energizing the astral body, that it needs that separation during the sleep state?
Absolutely. We already know that you absolutely need to dream or we become psychotic in a matter of 48 hours or 72 hours, depending on the individual. Sleep is absolutely essential for the brain. Now, no one knows exactly the inner workings of it, but I feel strongly that what is happening during what we call sleep, which, by the way, sleep is an altered state of consciousness. We take it for granted, but it's very much an unexplored altered state of consciousness. And that is a recharging mechanism for both, definitely for the physical body and for our brain, but also possibly for the astral body.
Many people who do not believe in life after death may not be aware, may not understand, may not believe in the existence of OBEs. What do you say to these people, William? Do you even deal with them?
Oh, I absolutely do all the time. And I have a very, very simple response to anyone who doesn't believe in it. I'd say that's great because this is the whole purpose of pursuing self-initiated OBEs is to obtain personal verification. That's what this is about. I didn't believe this back in 1970. I wouldn't have. I was a total agnostic. Unless I had the experience, I would have never believed this was possible. And it blew open a whole new door, a whole new life. That's the power of out-of-body experiences. It's not based on, it's not a belief system. It's not a speculation. People that have these experiences know that it's a reality. There is no guesswork. There's no belief system attached to it. There's no faith. This is a knowledge, and it opens up the door to discovering knowledge about yourself and the nature of reality.
In theory, is it also a science?
I mean, it's a science and an art form, really. That's why as you know, I've written extensively on this subject, because we all different techniques, for instance, for initiating the experience will work for different people, and it takes trial and error, it takes some education too, and it takes some determination for people to self-initiate an OBE, and it takes some training. Now, some people, they take to it very quickly. For me, it took me 30 days of daily practice for me to have my first experience. So it takes some motivation on the part of the individual. It is a science and an art. It's a combination because there's certain parameters of this which are universal, but yet there's an art form that every person has to learn by trial and error from actual experience.
Is there any doubt in your mind that the OBE will verify the existence of the other side?
It already has, for me and for anyone who's had the experience. I know for a fact. It's not a question. There's no ifs. I know for a fact that we live in a multidimensional universe. And all the biblical texts that talk about heaven and hell and whatever, purgatory and they're referring to this multidimensional universe. That's four dimensions right there. Every religion talks about a multidimensional universe, except they cloak it in their own language, often 2,000-year-old language. So that you have to look at it through the eyes of that culture. That's what I find so interesting. Every religion talks about multidimensional nature of reality.
You write in your books, and you've got The Adventures Beyond the Body and then The Secret of the Soul. Can we assume, William, that the soul that people of religious faith have talked about since the beginning of time, that the soul and the astral body are one and the same?
No, we can't. That's one thing I have found. That's an assumption that I feel is false. The astral body is one of many energy bodies. We're much more complex than body, mind, spirit. That's one of the things I'm still investigating today after 35 years of having experiences. But you quickly learn that the astral body is just another dense, form-based energy body that's very close in vibration to the physical. And the soul, or what I call pure consciousness, exists far beyond it in vibration. The soul is really the primary energy source of that uses other energy bodies throughout the universe, throughout this multidimensional universe. We exist on every level of reality, and we need a different energy body to function in that. And if, in a way, for instance, our astral body is a step-down energy from the soul to the physical. And when most people leave their bodies, they experience their astral body because it's the next vibrational level of reality.
Okay, what happens to the astral body upon death? And then the soul, obviously, we know about that.
Well, most people at death, based on my experiences, actually end up on the astral plane. And most of the religious heavens that exist today are actually on the astral plane.
Mm-hmm.
The various levels. The
Always
astral plane,
were.
By the way, is not one place. It's countless thousands of realities. And what people at death, we just transfer our awareness from the dense body of the matter to our higher vibrational body, which commonly today is called the astral body.
This is fascinating to me because with this knowledge, you can do some incredible things on these various planes or levels of existence, can't you?
You can discover the answers for yourself. That's the most incredible thing. You don't have to, no longer do you have to rely on 2,000-year-old faith and speculation. You can go and discover reality for yourself. I have received, thousands of letters from people who have talked to passed on loved ones, had communication with pets that have died. There's no end to it. I've personally communicated with my mother and my uncle who have passed on. I mean, I'm talking face to face. We're not talking some psychic interconnection.
Right.
We're talking, it's mind blowing. And by the way, when people die, every time I've interacted with one, they assume their younger version of themselves.
Why do they do that, William?
Because the astral body is like a jello mold, and whatever you hold as your self-concept is what you become on the astral plane, which becomes extremely fascinating and exciting when you are there and you begin to experiment because you can actually change your form. But most people don't really know this. Anyway, the people that live that are passed on generally become a younger version. In other words, they'll be in their prime. My mother died at age 73, yeah. But she looked like she was 25 when I met her. And my
looks
uncle,
like those looks like those pictures that you saw when they were young.
It really does. Yeah. I mean, it's because that's, you know, let's face it, that's our. I'm 57, but I still think of myself as being 30. That's just the way it is. But in other words, our mind creates our reality. Our mind molds the energy. The astral material is much more subtle and thought responsive than matter. So it molds to our thoughts much faster than matter. The same process is working here on the physical world. It's just taking far longer because of the density.
Well, these various levels then of existence, is that where you can tap into intuitiveness? Is that where deja vu occurs in areas like that?
Absolutely. That's how people connect. As you go further inward, and remember, the physical world is the epidermis layer of the universe, a dense, thin outer layer. It's actually a very small fraction of reality. And as you have an out-of-body experience, you're moving inward within the substructure of the universe. The astral plane is the substructure of matter. And as you go progressively in, you tap into your own natural abilities. All the things that we consider psychic or natural abilities, precognition, deja vu, all these things are these are natural abilities we all possess. And as we go inward and connect to our true self, or what I call our higher self, we tap into our own natural abilities, and we begin to broaden those abilities and even embrace them more in our physical life.
If one simply meditates, you sit down, you relax, and you meditate, and you increase your psychic powers, your awareness, is that also a form of out-of-body experience, even though you may not think you're out of the body? Aren't you still doing that generally?
Well, meditation is not necessarily out of body. I don't want to paint a broad brush here. There is a sense of going inward, and there are such things as having out of body experiences while in the body. In other words, it doesn't mean you have to move beyond the confines of your body to be in that altered state.
Right.
You can transfer your awareness. So yes, that is possible. And of course, that's what the Buddhist monks have been famous for doing for hundreds of years. They move within their body. By the way, Buddhist monks are also quite famous for astral projection. There's a lot of literature about this. I'm living in China, and I had an opportunity to talk to many of them in the last 4 years. And it's a reality. That's part of their that's secret training, so to speak. They don't talk about it to the general public.
When you see a Buddhist monk in a meditated state, you know, maybe his eyes are closed, he's not moving, might he already be out of his body?
Absolutely. There was a classic one just recently about the boy who meditated in the under the tree.
Yeah, the Buddha boy, right?
Yeah, the Buddha boy. And that's what always gets me. Do you really think that he was, I forget how many, he's been there for, now he's left that area and disappeared.
Well, now
I mean,
also
he meditated for over a year.
William, I had a story last week that somebody found him. Now he wants to meditate underground. He wants to be buried alive while he meditates. I mean, bizarre.
Well, exactly. It sounds bizarre, but that's because more than likely he's not in that body. He doesn't feel himself confined. See, we have a hard time. We're so conditioned in our society to equate dense matter with reality that we can't perceive of someone actually exiting their body. But see, for in other cultures, that's exactly what many of these people are doing. Like all of these people that have been famous for meditating for long periods of time, that's because they're exiting their body. They have freedom. For them, it is freedom. It's not confinement. It's not boring because they're moving around. They're probably, in many ways, the Buddha boy is probably, now again, I'm just speculating, but he's probably moving around the astral plane while his body's meditating.
What are the possibilities if, while you're out in the astral plane, your physical body ceases to live for whatever reason? Let's say it has a heart attack. Can you get back, or is that it for you?
Well, just like as soon as if your body's dead, you would definitely go to the level that you're comfortable with,
okay.
Just like we all would. Another, if you're bound to form-based realities, you would go to most people would middle part of the astral plane. And I hate using that term astral plane. In my books, I try not to use it at all, but I know that listeners can relate to it. I call it there's multiple energy dimensions. I refer to these as dimensions. But just to clarify, I just want to clarify that fact, because I hate the term astral plane, because I don't believe this is not some kind of occult thing. This is the nature of reality. Quantum physics is talking about 21 dimensions right now.
Well, I was going to say, are these other dimensions what physicists might call other universes, the multiverse?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, the big debate and the current debate is just how many dimensions is there? I mean, that's what's funny. The consensus now seems to be 21, but that will change.
William, when we come back, I want to ask you about some of the benefits of OBEs. And, you know, we had mentioned earlier that a lot of people have misinterpreted alien abductions when actually they're OBEs. Let's talk about that, because we've got a lot of people who believe they have been abducted. Your website, outofbody.com, but you've got a couple dashes there between the out of and the body, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And also astralinfo.org.
Very good. All of those linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We'll be back in a moment with William Buhlman on Coast to Coast AM. Well, take advantage of the double CD offer in the very final moments now. the old Art Bell interviews with the late Father Malachi Martin. They are yours, the great shows, classics, and demons, and exorcisms. When you subscribe to After Dark, call 1-888-727-5505, or you can go online, safe and secure, at coasttocoastam.com. William, what are the benefits, do you think, that we all would get with OBE experiences?
Well, the number one benefit that most people report are answers. I think that for me is the most important thing. I mean, we live in a society that is sadly without answers. I mean, we don't know where we come from. We don't know where we're going. We don't know our purpose. The whole concept of death is a real scary mystery. Out-of-body experiences really changes all of that quickly. You realize through personal verification that you continue beyond your body, number one. And not only that, but you once you meet other people, you realize, I'm talking about other people that have made the transition we call death, that they also are continuing. And that life in many ways continues very much like it was here, especially on the astral plane. Answers are what drives me. I want to know what the universe is like. I want to know what I am. I want to know the answers. And I can think of no other way to obtain that than to go beyond the body. And, of course, this is the driving force that initially started all religions. The whole concept of heaven, hell, purgatory, this was created by men and women who stepped beyond the limits of their body. You know, I talk about this a lot in my workshops, and that, you know, the Bible and the Quran, they're based on out-of-body experience. Revelations begins with, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, I know theologians can debate what that means, but when you have an out-of-body experience and you read Revelations, it takes on a whole different meaning than what it does to the egghead who studies biblical text.
Twofold question, William. Can someone in their physical body see an astral body, question one. Two, can someone in an astral body see others floating around in their astral bodies?
Well, okay. Remember, the whole, now you're basically asking me in a sense about ghosts, that what people perceive.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can. If the astral body has, if the vibration of the astral body, let's say, or what some people term the etheric, the first inner energy body, if that energy body is stepped down enough, you will see it as a shadow. I've witnessed this. Matter of fact, this whole phenomenon of shadow people and ghosts
right.
are nothing more than astral beings who have lowered their vibrational rate. It's not the great mystery that many people think it is. And by the way, people are people. Their ghosts don't become anything else. They're still just people. Sometimes they're confused. Sometimes they're addicted to a location or to a person attached, in other words, but they're still the same person. They just don't have the body, the dense body anymore. A lot of these things that we consider great mysteries are actually just once you go out of body, you realize, hey, everybody's just people. I mean, they're just living their lives, continuing to live their lives. And that's what that comes back to answers. Once you have the experiences, you begin to piece together the real nature of reality and where we fit in.
That's a good point. You know, we talked earlier that there could be many alien abductions that are actually misinterpreted as misinterpreted that they're really OBEs. Tell me about that and your thoughts on that, William.
Well, as you know, I wrote an entire chapter in Secret of the Soul on that subject because I felt so strongly about it, and I've done lectures on this. There is no doubt in my mind, and this is based on not only hundreds and hundreds of letters that I've received from people. When I received letters of OBEs from people, and during the course of my survey, I also received hundreds of letters of abductions and other phenomena. And what surprised me is that the letters at the beginning phases of the experience were almost identical. Vibrations, light, a phenomena of some kind. Floating, moving to a new location, being touched, being probed, strange beings all around you. All of this, to be quite frank, is exactly what happens during an OBE or some element of it. I mean, that's just the way it is. It's a crowded universe. And when you leave your body, you attract attention. I've had out-of-body experiences where I was surrounded by people all asking questions and wanting to talk. And, you know, I'm serious. It's the way it is. And it sounds strange, but that's the reality of it. Once you begin to leave your body, people want to communicate with you. And a lot of people immediately, because of our programming, they jump to conclusion that, oh, this is very strange. It must be an abduction because I'm in a new environment. And also our mind will interpret every event. Remember, we're framing our reality that we experience based on our belief systems. And unfortunately, in our culture now, the alien phenomena culture has become really popular. And I shouldn't say it's unfortunate, but it has slanted our perception of reality to such that people will perceive an alien as being next to them instead of just an astral person.
Right.
Possibly.
Not to say that the alien abduction is not occurring.
No, I'm not. Exactly. That's what I like to clarify this. I do believe there are aliens, but I also believe that I am one and you are. We are all aliens to this planet. We're not naturally from here. Consciousness is not human. Consciousness is using the human form as a vehicle for consciousness in a dense dimension of reality. When I extend my out-of-body experience, I lose my humanoid form within 5 minutes, and I become like a ball or teardrop of energy, conscious energy. I am not, so it proved to me real quickly, I'm not human. I'm assuming a human form. So this idea of what's alien and what's not gets a little silly sometimes.
Well, and you're right. There are a lot of people on this planet who I'm sure are not human. if you get my drift. The fascination of OBEs, of course, is not been as prevalent as it should be. I mean, we know of the Robert Munros, of the Haywood Carringtons, the Sylvan Muldoons from years gone back. But those in ancient days, the really ancient days, who practiced this on a regular basis, who performed it, what happened? How did we lose, at least Western-wise, how did we lose that transition?
I think a lot of that information was interpreted according to the culture of that era. For instance, a good example is the Quran is full of out-of-body experiences. But do you think many people perceive it that way?
No.
What's the night journey? My God, it is so clearly an OBE. It's like slaps you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, Muhammad leaves his body, clearly says he's escorted by what he calls an angel. He has an alien being, which is part different parts of animals, and then he goes through seven levels or heavens where he meets different entities. My God, he clearly speaks about different dimensions when he talks about these different heavens. And then, of course, the entire religion of Islam is based on this out-of-body experience. But do you think anybody today, or very many of them, understand the fact that that was an out-of-body, clearly
no.
an out-of-body experience.
No,
instead,
no
ritual and dogma is taken over, just like it has in Christianity with many of the religious beliefs, like I mentioned earlier about revelations.
Right.
And St. Paul talking about whether in the body or out of the body, he's in the third heaven. What is he talking about? He's talking about the third heaven. He didn't say he was heaven. He clearly said third heaven. Which means that even St. Paul must have been aware that there was more than one heaven when he said the word third. These people knew about a multidimensional universe, and they tried to relay it to a very, let's face it, the people were not, let's just say the educational factor was not there 2,000 years ago, and they had to relate their experiences based to the cultural reference of their time.
Now, these ancient civilizations that then carried forward to civilizations like those who are Buddhists and that, are there and were there millions of people from that culture, this modern culture, who just don't understand this? You know, surely the Buddhist monks do and people like that, but I would guess that there are some people in society from that culture that probably aren't as aware as they should be. They've lost it too, haven't they?
Oh, absolutely. I know that from, I travel, as you know, I live in Asia and I travel all over Asia. Mm-hmm. It's lost. It's unfortunate. And it's a lot of it has to do with the fact that I feel, this is just my personal opinion, the founders and the people that control the religions didn't feel that the populace could handle this kind of information. It was too heady. How do you explain to somebody too that can't read and write that we live in a multidimensional universe and that you, every one of you, are multidimensional beings? Okay, and that, but yet nobody can read and write, but yet everybody's supposed to understand this. It's a lot easier just to say, hey, you're going to go to heaven if you're good.
Yeah.
It just, people can buy that. They can relate to it. It's kind of sad. That's why I feel this subject is so critically important. And you're right, it hasn't gotten the attention it deserves, because this is where the answers lie.
Is the astral plane also the area of subconscious? Is that one and the same, or are we talking about different things?
The area of subconscious is at a higher level of reality.
Okay.
But yes, they do equate different parts of the mind and the emotions. This is all interlinked. We're not separated. Our mind, our emotions, we exist as a multidimensional being. And our subconscious mind is an element of the universe, just like our conscious mind is an element. It's another dimension of the universe. And yes, it is all interrelated. But the astral plane does not, to me, it is not at all in the subconscious region.
The fact that people nowadays seem to be so frustrated, so involved in their own problems, getting bombarded by the problems of the world. We've been in a war situation since 2001 on a constant basis. We've always been in wars, it seems. Do people have the ability to escape some of this, William, in the astral plane, or by going into that state of mind, can they better their lives?
Well, I think knowledge is power. And I believe that the more knowledgeable we are, the more we can put things into perspective. Like, for instance, I have a different take on wars than probably most people. I have a different take on the physical. I look at this drama that unfolds in the physical world as a temporary reality that's unfolding. I think it gives you a whole different perspective, not only of the world around you, but your place in that world, because you realize that this is just a temporary phenomena you're experiencing and that things will play themselves out. But we have to work on our own evolution. And this evolution is an inward evolution from matter. We are evolving slowly, I feel, from what many people would perceive as a physical species to a much more higher level of consciousness, to what we would perceive as even a spiritual being, to throw out that word. But this is an inner journey of consciousness. And out-of-body experiences is an integral part of this, because it expands. I feel that the mind-expanding properties of an out-of-body experience, it goes beyond my ability to express. Because you really do begin to see the universe for much more than, in other words, the physical world is no longer the center of the universe. It's just another play that's unfolding.
Exactly. These other dimensions, would they also include areas? Because I remember years ago when I was a kid reading the astral body, the projection of the astral body by Carrington and Muldoon, how they talked about these levels, and there were some levels that they didn't want to hang around, that it was actually frightening for them. Is that what one would call hell, for example?
Yes, I feel that's how probably many would interpret hell, yes. There's negative beings. You know, the astral plane is a reflection of the physical and vice versa. You know, as above, so below. It really is. So there are negative beings. There's I don't like the word use word evil. It's not that. It's just ignorant. It's just people that don't understand what they are yet, so they act ignorant, just like they do in the physical world. People steal and rob and kill out of ignorance of their own self. If they knew they were a spiritual being and what they truly were, they would never consider that because, of course, they'd realize that everything has an energy return to it. But, yes, it's strictly, and there's levels on the astral plane that are very negative. But generally when you have an out-of-body experience, you're drawn to the energy levels or areas or realities, however you wish to term this, that is in sync with you, your evolution, your mindset. That's why it's not a problem. I don't encounter negative, nasty entities because that's not who I relate to. That's not who I vibrate to. So the fear-based things attached to out-of-body experiences are unfounded. Because, you know, the old thing is, you know, there's something negative is going to get you.
Right.
In 35 years of my out-of-body experiences, it has never been an issue. Because I'm not drawn to that kind of energy. We go to what vibrates with us. If I was a Saddam-type character, I would end up down in those type of areas.
Right.
But I'm not, so I don't go there.
And he's probably there now.
The universe is actually set up on an automatic, at least based on what I see. Everything seems to run on automatic. A person that deserves to go to a hellish environment will just automatically go there. There's nobody grabbing them and taking them there. It's everything is automatic. You go where you deserve to be, which is wonderful. I think it's a very positive thing.
In your opinion, William, why does it exist? These planes, these dimensions.
Experience. It's all about us gaining experience and individualization. We need to be individual conscious entities. And we have chosen to enter. The physical world is the toughest training ground you can enter.
True.
It really is. And we have a choice. Nobody's forced to come here. By the way, I have found that there's countless, I don't know the number, it could be billions that have never even entered the physical world because they're afraid of it. It's too intense. This is a virtual reality ground that you can't escape from. It's so intense that many people won't even enter it. And once you do, of course, you end up coming back.
Well, those of us who are here, we must be the pioneers, huh?
Well, we're the brave ones, that's for sure. This takes some courage to come into the physical world. Because everybody knows how intense it truly is, and it's the toughest virtual reality there is. Because on the astral plane, there's also it's a very similar virtual reality energy process created by thought, group thought. Every reality is created by the group thought of the participants, and that's what makes it so fascinating. I've explored countless realities. And I don't even know. There may be millions. There may be countless trillions of them. I don't even know.
Lots more to talk with you about, William, when we come back. New reports of meeting with dead loved ones. And what about the research on combat, childbirth, and surgery-induced OBEs as well? And remember in Peru, those Nazca figures, those lines? We'll talk about that, too. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.